When Standard & Poor's downgraded the U.S. debt last week, it wasn't just an economic blow. It also hit America's sense of self. Well, that happened to another country just to our north. 2 decades ago, Canada lost its coveted AAA rating for failing to deal with its soaring debt. Well, Canada managed to regain its top credit rating after some painful measures, and it did it in less than a decade. The CBC's Mike Hornbrook looks back at what Canada did to tackle its debt.
In April 1993, Canada got an alarming piece of news.
CBC Primetime News with Bill Cameron.
The biggest blow came tonight. A bond rating agency downgraded Canada's federal debt from a AAA rating to a AA+ rating. The reason, it says, is that Ottawa has consistently failed to live up to its promise to reduce the deficit.
At first, politicians challenged the credit downgrade.
I think it's very important to point out that this is based on erroneous information.
Much like the Obama administration did over the past weekend. Economist Jack Mintz says the 1993 downgrade shocked Canadians into taking a hard look at their books.
Our foreign indebtedness was pushing close to 45% of GDP, which was very high at that time. Again, a problem that's similar for the United States today.
But it wasn't just the downgrade. People here were stung when the American press began likening Canada to a developing nation. Craig Alexander is the chief economist of Canada's TD Bank.
One of the most remarkable catalysts to change public attention to this issue was when the Wall Street Journal ran an article that referred to Canada turning into an emerging market economy, and they talked about the Canadian dollar being the peso of the North. Now, that story resonated. It was such an embarrassment that in opinion polls we started to see the public polling with government debt being issue number one, above health care, above education.
The Canadian government began slashing spending, an average of 20% across the board. Canada's finance minister at the time was Paul Martin.
The attack on the deficit is irrevocable and irreversible. Let there be no doubt about that. We will balance the books.
The government earlier had imposed a national sales tax, 7% on goods and services. At first, Canadians complained, but given the budget problem, they went along. Economist Jack Mintz says there's a lesson for Democrats and Republicans. The U.S. government is going to have to do some real tax reform. He suggests tax preferences would be a good place to start.
The number one item is the mortgage interest deductibility, which I think has been a very harmful policy, but reflects the psyche in U.S. policy of trying to push home ownership in the country.
Canada has no such tax deductions, yet it has a higher rate of home ownership than the U.S. Observers point out another reason Canada was able to take action and pay down its debts is that the Liberal government in power at the time had a majority in Canada's parliament. TD Bank's Craig Alexander.
The majority government basically means the government of the day can do whatever it wants and then go back to see the electorate several years later.
In contrast, the U.S. government is divided by design. And that, Alexander notes, fundamentally impairs the ability of America to deal with its growing debt problem. For The World, I'm Mike Hornbrook in Toronto.